Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today, we've got a combo platter of awesomeness. First, Doug Kazarian, host of Daily Wager from ESPN, is joining to talk about all things sports betting. And then afterwards, Monique Vague is going to be joining to jam about the Kentucky Derby. Two-part episode. Hope you enjoy. Joining me to jam about all things sports betting is Doug Kazarian, host of Daily Wager on ESPN and host of the Behind the Bets podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at DougESPN. Doug, great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, same here. But I got to be honest, I'm a little jealous of your wall behind you. I have this blank white wall, and it's a conference room. I'm at work here. I'm not in my home library or office or whatever you want to call it, bookshelf behind me. So I'm just envious of the baseball cards and everything behind you while I got this blank wall.
Thank you. It is my childhood. It is all the baseball, basketball, and football cards that I had growing up as a kid. And people often say, Rob, isn't that worth tons of money? And I'm like, no, because the Greg Jeffries Future Stars card that was supposed to pay for college did not happen. But maybe NBA Top Shot or some of these NFTs will eventually do that for us.
Yeah, I have a stack of Kevin Moss still waiting for those to hit jackpot on.
So I got to show you some love because watching Daily Wager is a staple for me. I'm often tailing your picks, which has been a very profitable endeavor, certainly in February where you went a blazing 18-2. Can you share a little bit into your mindset and preparation for how you're making your picks?
Well, I'll say this, that will never happen again. And obviously that's an outlier record. No one goes 90% ATS. Over a consistent amount of time, although I will say over a month, and is kind of cool. But I will say this, it's hard because a lot of these segments are basically geared towards TV, right? Or even radio and whoever the platform is podcast or whatever. It's pick of the day. Does anyone make just one bet every day the same amount of money? No. So it's just really hard. I think fictitious bankroll is sort of more indicative and more representative. That's what I do on the Behind the Bets podcast over the course of the NFL season. When we do picks in the column for ESPN.com's chalk section, whether it be college or pro, all like, quote unquote, load up on a side or something, and I'll go first quarter, first half, team total, you know, just to sort of show that I'm all in on that game because everything counts one unit, and it's just really hard to pick of the day. Now, it was fun to have a win streak, and frankly, I could have easily been 20-0. The two that are stick a thorn in my side, and I had two lucky covers, so I guess it balances out. But it's just hard because sometimes when I do the pick, I'll be like, this is a banger, and I'll say that and just like wink at the camera. But in terms of the background and you know, there's no kind of foolproof, right? Other people have models. The math guys do, and that's great, and that works for them. I obviously am not a modeler. It's a lot of instinct and sort of eye test, old school handicapping, I guess is the best way to summarize it. Now I'll lean on the metrics, whether we have in our ESPN system or I'll hear an odds maker or I'll hear a math guy talk about certain stuff, but it's all encompassing. And, you know, I've always said I'm good at aggregating information, whether it be sources behind the counter, sources who are pro bettors on the other side of the counter, myself, other people I talk to. There's really kind of two aspects to betting. It's understanding the market and then understanding the action of the game, right? Very few people know both. And in due time, there'll be a lot more people that know both, but we're getting there. And obviously it's grown the last few years since legalization, Supreme Court ruling, but it's rare that you get both. And I feel like I have a familiarity and a understanding of the market as well as the games.
One thing that I think has been advantageous to both bettors and probably the records of everyone on this show are prop bets. You're seeing a lot of first half action, or as we look in MLB and NBA, you've got the points, assists, threes, or in baseball, you've got strikeouts. And now we see how close a lot of these games come and how close the line is. But I feel like as a bettor, I have a slightly more advantage if I'm looking at a first five under on Jacob DeGrom or Joel Embiid over points when they're rolling and the other team is scuffling.
I totally agree. And this kind of started with Alabama first half a few years ago, right? With Tua and the explosive offense, something Nick Saban never really had. until that first season with Tua at the helm. It's important to remember bad beats, right? So in all these sports, whether it be hockey with pulling the goalie, baseball, just the strategy at the end of games, you're sacrificing more in the later innings, the bullpen, things like that. In NBA, you have the chucking of the threes, you have the fouling, but the last, I don't know, whatever it is, 3% of the game or whatever it may be, is just so different than the previous 97%. And so it's really hard. And to your point, if you can isolate your handicap, your rationale, your reasoning into a bet that like is a shorter time period, sometimes it's better, sometimes it's not, but just more like a truer outcome, if you will. Now look, I like, sometimes you need the end of the game sloppiness. Like I had the Nets last night as my best bet. I needed those chucked missed threes by Toronto, but every number's different, right? You sometimes don't want the Lakers the other night barely covered Orlando. I don't know how they covered double digits, but they needed all 48 minutes. So obviously there's going to be situations, but for me, going back to the Alabama thing, there are inefficiencies in the market. So these college football spreads that are huge, like when Alabama plays teams other than Georgia and LSU, you have these 25, 30-point spreads. And the spread factors in that fourth quarter, which is sort of garbage time, and the scrubs are in, and Saban's always a gentleman and a sportsman and runs it, you know, and doesn't really chuck and duck like maybe, I don't know, like Lane Kiffin would or something, like running up the score, so to speak. So if you have this game line that factors in the foot off the gas in the fourth quarter, but the first half line is just typical first half of the game, and the first quarter the same way, you're really, it's an edge, right? Like that was the whole concept behind that. But we see that in the NBA as well, right? So you have this disparity with substitution patterns. So if the Warriors are playing and they're minus six or whatever it is, and then three is the first half line, three, three and a half, and then the first quarter is one, one and a half, you get Steph Curry for the entire first quarter, but he only plays half the second quarter. So there's just ways to chop things up. And that, you know, we learned this in the odds making a couple of years ago where the NBA started to figure out teams down 0-2 coming home in the first round of the playoffs. They started skewing the first quarter, the first half lines, where it was just that inflex or influx of like edge and energy, and there's a relaxation of the team up 2-0. So you would have teams minus three for the game and they'd be minus three in the first half, something like that. So oddsmakers started to adjust. There was one game with the Blazers, I think it was, with the Warriors, where the Blazers were favorites in the first half, but underdogs for the game. And just sort of the oddsmakers finally caught up to that. It's the same concept. We're just finding other situations that present those edges.
And what I would love to see one day is a glossary of some of these things, because what you said about Steph Curry is such a smart thing that a casual bettor wouldn't realize that, hey guys, you hear these first half bets and we see them on your show, but everyone doesn't necessarily correlate why that would be. So if I had a glossary that's like, by the way, a lot of superstars might not play the entire second quarter, so the first quarter bet may be a little bit better. So right now we've got a very exciting time in sports. We're recording this on Wednesday. NFL draft starts on Thursday. We got the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. We got NBA and NHL wrapping up the regular seasons. We get MLB on the upswing. I'm curious from you, what's on your radar for the next week? Is there any tips or leans or something you can do to help us enjoy the next 5 days, because they're going to be full of bliss?
Yeah, no, I'll do my best, and I apologize for the construction. You know, we're in Vegas hotel or at the Link right here, so you never know what action, what floor has a construction going on. But look, every market is a different animal, right? Like the NFL draft is obviously an entirely different animal. And you can't treat a mock draft like a Bible, A, because it's public and the odds makers have it too in the pro bet. It's just, you have to kind of get a feel for betting props and things like that. Now there are inefficiencies. It's tough for the odds makers because you just mentioned the long list of sports going on. And if you focus on one like the draft, there's things you can do. And it's an acquired sort of skill over the years, but there are opportunities. Now, the numbers have been hammered into place. So I will say I don't think enough is being kind of recognized in the betting market with Kyle Pitts. I just don't see how he's not the first non-quarterback drafted. So whether it's under 5.5 or first non-QB, some props in index betting or whatever, the number should be minus 300, 350. I really do think that for the under 5.5 and things like that. I just don't see how a front office can pass up what many think is going to be a Hall of Fame tight end, and he's going to be split out wide. He's such a dynamic and an offense-driven league. I just don't think you can go like D end or offensive lineman or wide receiver Jamar Chase or something like that. I think Pitts is the no brainer, and you always have to account for trades too, because that's the total fly in the ointment, right? And oddsmakers don't know this, so there's a lot of uncertainty. Just be careful laying big lumber, just because Kiper and McShay have it in their mock draft. It doesn't mean the trade can't happen. Remember, a really good mock draft only has like between 10 and 12, 100% right. Now, it depends how you define right. It could be, well, they had him as the first linebacker and then somebody traded up and it was like that team got him, but they moved two spots back or whatever. I think there's gray area there, right? But remember last year and this year now, last year's mock was kind of the worst they did. And I use that term loosely because there's gray area of grading, like I said, but with no combine and the teams are just getting the medicals this week. And you at the combine, you don't have that that hanging out period at night with the alcohol flowing and all that sort of sharing notes, whether it be two insiders from different networks talking or with a scout or with an executive. There's just so much sharing of information. And if you're good at it, you can kind of like figure out, filter out like who's, someone's source is so-and-so. You can connect some dots and kind of filter out the misinformation. So it's just really that they don't have that this year like they didn't last year. So it's just really hard. I mean, there's only so much you can do over Zoom. And obviously they have sources where they can text and stuff, but not the same over a few drinks and a little bit of a mosh pit of information. So just keep that in mind. Take some flyers, if you will. There is value on long shots. There's always going to be surprise. I mean, remember the Raiders drafted Farrell a few years ago. No one saw him coming, even though he's a good player out of Clemson. He was projected in the 20s and the Raiders took him to the top 10. So there's just be careful, have some fun. Don't have FOMO. I think that's my number one thing. If you kind of like a side, don't have FOMO. Just wait for live wagering. I know it's the worst feeling to see a team dominate. You're like, oh, I meant to bet them and I wanted to. And you missed it. You didn't love it. Otherwise you would have bet it. So just don't have FOMO on some of the draft. We can still enjoy the third overall pick without wagering, laying $3 on Mac Jones or whatever it is. Like just pause and pace yourself there.
And Doug, I really enjoy following you. You're a great voice in the world of sports betting. I look forward to seeing future betcasts. That was something that I think is a very unique experience. I'm all for sports plus sports betting because we see so much of the general sports that when shows like yours come along, it just makes my life more fun and enjoyable. Where can everybody connect with you?
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was a really fun venture. We did one in the NFL as well for the playoff game in early January, Ravens, Titans. And look, I give the leagues a lot of credit. They've kept an open mind. They weren't as immersed in sports betting as we all have been over the years. So they've kept an open mind. They've done their due diligence. And they're partnering up. They have sponsorships, obviously. And they're keeping an open mind. I remember the NFL demo. We did a couple demos, obviously. And the league told one of my bosses, like, we're surprised at how fine we are with everything. Because, you had this preconceived notion. You're doing your research. They have a multi-billion-dollar industry, so they're going to err on the side of caution. And the demos were done well. Like, they're clean. They're like the graph. It's not like monkeys throwing darts trying to pick games. There's just a fun sports conversation with some numbers involved. That's all it is. But thanks for asking. It's at Doug ESPN is my Twitter handle, same as my Instagram as well, at Doug ESPN. And, we're on 6 Eastern most days on ESPN2 for Daily Wager. But like this week, we're on Thursday and Friday, 4 Eastern. And then we have a Saturday show because of the Derby, noon Eastern. And it's a lot of fun. Obviously, I'm having a blast doing this. And sports betting's growing. You're playing your role as well. And the Behind the Bets podcast, about one podcast a week. That's wherever you download, podcasts normally.
Thanks for coming on, Doug.
All right, you got it, Rob. Thank you.
Maybe that was money.
And joining me to get you ready to bet the Kentucky Derby is Monique Vegh. You can follow her on Twitter at Parlay Queen. Monique, great to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm happy that we can make this maybe a yearly tradition. I mean, it's always fun to chat Derby and always fun around this time of the year. I know last year was just a bit of a mess. And even this year, same type of thing. But at least the events are going as planned in terms of the Derby, Preakness, and then Belmont. So very excited to be here. And thank you for having me.
And I agree. I enjoy this annual run of the Derby for us. And last year was unique experience for myriad of reasons, but we had an overwhelming favorite, it seemed, throughout all of the races there. And what we want to talk about today is we're going to look at the favorite. We're going to look at some of the other options. We're also going to help you with betting mindset. Hey, depending on what type of experience you want to have, we'll give you a few different options. So Monique, let's start with this. If you are a bettor who wants to maximize fun when betting the Derby, what is the way that they should think about laying down their action?
I mean, it depends. A lot of the time, especially, well, for me personally, if I'm trying to maximize funds, I'm always looking for those kind of multi-leg wagers. So one of those parlay type wagers and maybe a daily double or a pick four, pick five. One of those wagers are always fun because you can get in for a small wager. Some bets are available for 20 cents or one of those dollar bases. And those are the payouts where you're looking at, you know, 10, 15,000 if you're able to cash in on those. So those are always fun and always a good way to maximize value. But of course, they come with a ton of risk and they're tricky in that sense. So a lot of the time, even just an exacta and the Derby can pay really well, you know, because we do have that 20 horse field, so many different runners, so many different combinations. Even if you do get those top two finishers, it still usually pays nice. So I feel like sometimes you can take a little bit of a risk. I mean, it depends what type of a read you have on the race, I'd say.
All right, let's flip it around. You want to maximize upside. How should you be betting the Derby?
Same type of way, to be honest. I mean, I think that's a more of an advanced type of way in terms of looking at more than just trying to pick out the winner. But of course, there's a lot of value if you just want to bet a horse to hit the board, especially if it is one of those big price plays. And I mean, a lot of the time when you have the Derby favorite, in many Derby cases in the past, we've had an overwhelming favorite. This time around, Essential Quality obviously going to go as the post time favorite, but it's one of these Derbies which isn't as completely wide open as it may seem. So I think that's the advantage of it. And you can maximize upside, honestly, on anybody if you're trying to play against the favorite. So I think it's one of these races where you'll find value pretty much wherever you look. And I think our Derby favorite will probably be around maybe 3-1 at post. So it should be a really, really good betting race.
All right. So if someone's like, you know what? I just want to make this nice and simple. I am going to be betting the favorite because it's got the greatest odds. I don't know anything going into this. So should we take them across the board just to win? Or what sort of is the mindset where at the end of it, you're like, all right, well, I didn't make the most amount of money, but I at least am still in on this, assuming that the favorite cashes in some capacity.
I would say just to keep it simple, because you are going to be getting a fair price. Like I said, I believe around 3-1 will be the price on the favorite in the Derby. And that's still a really nice return on investment. I mean, we're not looking at some races, of course, in the Derby 20 horse field, you're not getting those 1-9, 1-5, 2-5 prices, or even money. There's no way we're getting even money or close to that. So I think even just a regular win bet on the favorite can still yield you a nice return on investment. And like I said, a lot of the time, you're just going to be getting some big prices underneath just by nature and virtue of how the race plays out. 19 other horses, plus, of course, the horse that ends up winning that. So many different combinations, and just based on that merit alone, usually ends up returning nice payouts. So if you do like the favorite, maybe single the favorite on top in a trifecta and then look for some prices underneath.
It is worth noting that traditionally betting the favorite has been a very profitable thing for the Derby. So let's dig into that a little bit with Essential Quality. Undefeated, 5-for-5 in the races, drew the 14 post. What are your thoughts on this horse?
I mean, he's clearly the one to beat. He's looked really good doing so. Looked good as a juvenile too. So that's another thing. And you do usually want to see some good races as a two-year-old. And then of course the maturity into three, but it's so tough to really gauge that because we only have maybe 2 or 3 starts for many of them as a three-year-old. And there's a huge progression from 2 to 3. So it's difficult to really gauge it from that perspective. So that's why we have those Derby prep races in terms of earning points. And visually he's just looked so good. And he has that type of running style that you want to see out of major Derby favorites and Derby contenders too. You don't want to be too far off the pace. And that's been very, very universal over the past couple of Derbies too, is horses that are speed horses or horses that are working out those pressing stalker type trips are the ones that usually end up coming through. So he should be working on a nice trip. For me, I'm going to be going against him a little bit here in the second choice in Rock Your World, but I can't fault anyone for going Essential Quality just based on what we've seen thus far.
So let's talk about speed figures for a second. So I saw a chart of the top speed figures, and Known Agenda was at the top at 112, followed by Essential Quality at 109, Medina Spirit at 109, and then Highly Motivated in Soup and Sandwich at 108. And then it goes all the way down to Sainthood down at 93. So looking at something just like this, most people would be like, oh, well, this is going to show us how fast this horse runs potentially on their max. How much does this actually play into it? Because you would look at that and be like, well, there's no way that I would take someone who is not one of the fastest horses.
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, it's so difficult to really gauge one particular race and hold that much merit to it. And it's so tough to say because you're looking at these horses, four or five starts to their name, but you do definitely want to be betting a horse that is at least somewhat similar. If you're looking for a long shot, you want to see a horse that's somewhat similar in terms of those speed figures. But progression, I think, is the most important thing. Being able to show an improvement from one start to the next and show an improve in those speed figures and improve in those buyer figures, which is another thing too, another category. And in your program pages, you'll see two numbers beside them. One of them is the speed figure, one of them is the buyer figure. And you do want to see improvement because that's just, you know, there's so many different factors that come into that. So it's obviously an educated analysis on how the race was in a numerical form. So you want to see that type of improvement and you want to see a horse that just fits in, like I said. So I like horses that usually are coming off their best performance in their most recent. I think that's usually a good indicator, but there's so many different factors too. So the trip, the type of trip a horse gets, sometimes they have so much pace and they're ready to make the move. But unfortunately, traffic trouble is one thing that hinders their chances. There's a couple of horses that may have been forced wide in their most recent efforts. So they're traveling way more steps, way more feet than many others. And those are those type of hidden horses that you want to look for underneath. And, you know, obviously a clean trip is the most important one in the Derby because, you know, when we head around the final turn, there's a wall of horses and the wall of horses on the front tiring late and then trying to make room for some of those late closers. So it's one of those tricky races to handicap, but if you end up cashing, usually yields a nice return on investment.
All right, so let's look at some of the other favorites that is not Essential Quality. And you mentioned Rock the World starting out at 5-1. And this is a horse that presses the pace. It's one that they said could go wire to wire. And you'd mentioned that you like Rock Your World. What do you like about it?
I mean, what I like most was being able to see. So this horse started his campaign on the turf, and that was one thing which we were thinking is this horse could be really good to go on the dirt. And he's had that one limited start and looked so good doing so. And what I love to see out of him in particular was that he was able to show that early speed. And a tactical speed is really important, especially when you're drawing towards the outside in the Derby. And like you said, I think he could be one that could wire the field, but he's also one of those other horses which I feel super comfortable if someone like a Medina Spirit shows that early speed, Soup and Sandwich, anyone else, if they're able to show that early speed, this horse I know is more than comfortable working out that pressing pace or even just sitting a little bit off the speed. So I think he's someone that's very, very versatile. Love what I've seen, like I said, and also coming in off of a victory in his most recent, and all of his figures seem to match up. And of course, I think he'll offer a much, much better price than that favorite in Essential Quality.
All right, so we've got Known Agenda sitting there at 6-1. It is the horse that has the top speed figure, but here's the challenge. Drew the one post here, and traditionally this post position has not been advantageous in the Derby. What are your thoughts here? Because there's a lot of good signs, but there's also a few not so good.
Yeah, the post is the one downfall. I mean, you don't want to be one of those bookend posts. That's kind of how I always look at it. It's just so difficult. You're going to need a lot of racing luck. I think that's what's most important out of drawing the rail post is it's tough. I mean, you're drawing the rail, everyone right away, first turn comes up really quickly, and then you're all fighting for position up front. So that's the one big issue with the rail post is you tend to get boxed in, nowhere to go, nowhere to race. And I mean, from this horse, he's shown enough speed that I think he'll get away decently well, but I mean, he has that rail post going against him. So that's the one downfall, but another one that could be a major player if you are looking to play against that shorter price.
So let's get to some of the long shots, and you'd mentioned Soup and Sandwich. So I'm sitting there and it's at 30-1. I love sandwiches. So naturally I'm drawn to this horse. Looking here, it comes in at 108 on a top speed figure. So it's one of the top five horses right there. What are your thoughts on this or any other long shots that you might want to throw out to help us along on our journey?
He's a really interesting one. And like I said, too, we have a lot of lightly raced horses, and I'm not sure how much the COVID has really affected the racing schedules. I mean, you're getting a lot less starts for some of these horses, and some of them are just later to make their debut at three, which may not have been how it necessarily was planned. So that's one thing which it's tough to really quantify or really factor into your handicapping, but it's a very real thing. I think it's an intriguing option. I mean, Chad Brown usually has them ready, good to go. And he's a trainer that always catches my eye when he sends them out. And this one's an intriguing long shot. And like I said, shows that speed, which I think could really come in handy. The price play that I like is Superstock, drawing towards the outside. Should offer a nice price, somewhere similar odds to Soup and Sandwich. I think might be a little bit lower, but still we're looking at least 25-1. Just an intriguing option, I think, has raced really well in many of those starts, should be involved in the pace scenario early, which I think could really benefit, because there's going to be the way the Derby plays out. We have those horses in bunches. So the ones that are near the front, on the front, and then the ones that are trying to work out those closing efforts. Do I really think it's going to be a super fast pace? Probably not. So I think it's really going to benefit horses that are closer. I think he's going to be exactly that.
With the long shots, do you find, obviously, people can just go, boom, I'm going to have them win. But what is your mindset around it? Do you pick a few of them and take them across the border? Or how are you usually playing long shots?
For me, I usually try to build, it's similar, it's every single race. I try to find the key horse that I want to bet to win. And then I'm the type of bettor where I want to make the most of my ticket. So I'll obviously place a little bit on those horses to win that I really like. But in the case of this, I'm going to be backing Rock Your World on top and then looking for some prices underneath for that trifecta. And those just return such nice payouts. And I think, like I said, I think we don't have an overwhelming favorite in terms of what the odds are going to be. So I like for those prices underneath. But if you do want to keep it simple and you really do like a long shot, then just betting them across the board is usually a really good play, because you just need to make a decent return on your wager, as long as they finish in the top three. So I feel like with those longer prices, I wouldn't overcomplicate it. I mean, of course, it depends what type of price. But for me, I take a little bit of a different approach than I'd maybe give out as advice, but that's just because I'm a little bit greedy. And I mean, it's a one race. I mean, it's 20 horses in the field. How often are you going to be getting a trifecta returning you 8,000, 10,000? I mean, not too often, a couple times a year. So I swing for the fences.
How can you fade a horse? So for example, if I'm like, you know what? I don't like Known Agenda because the post position right there, and similar to how in other sports, you can fade a team or a specific type of bet. How can you do that in the Derby?
For me, the way I would do that is a lot of sports books will offer you those head-to-head wagers. And these are my favorite. And I wish we could have them in every single race, because a lot of the time when you don't like a horse, you think they're being a little bit overvalued, then, you want to play against them. So the best way I would say to do that is to do one of those head-to-head. So I think the most likely head-to-head, well, I mean, Essential Quality versus him is going to be Known Agenda is going to be obviously one of those plays, but you're going to have Essential Quality as a favorite. So if you think this horse is going to kind of underperform, looking at those head-to-heads, look for the one where you're getting Known Quality as the favorite and then play against him there, and you should get a nice return on investment. So it's usually the head-to-heads are going to be horses that are going to be similar in terms of odds and racing style paired up. So that's a fun wager. It's one of those prop wagers that I think are really fun to do, and I think would be the best way to fade, where you're still getting a nice return on investment, nice value as well too. So I think that would be the way to do it. And of course, you only have to beat out one horse, so it's not like you're betting this horse to finish first or finish second. You're just looking for this horse to outplace Known Agenda.
Now, this is an attractive option for me, and I've never placed a matchup bet on the Derby, maybe because I've never seen that option, but it makes sense because I would love to just go down to the bottom of the list and start betting any of these horses, because remember, we can make this as fun as we want. It's not only about who wins, where in the matchups, if we sit at the bottom at Hidden Stash and Helium, both at 50-1, everybody else is going nuts on the favorites, and you're like, let's look at the back of this race and see what's going on there. To me, that's extremely attractive. Last question for you in terms of when to be placing your bets. Certainly, we're recording this right now at 1 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, and the Derby's on Saturday. So the odds are going to change. We're going to get more information. More people are going to have picks and an analysis around this. What is your mindset around when you start placing your action for the Derby?
why I usually wait till as long as you possibly can, because I'm trying to get all the type of information that you want. And when it comes to these three-year-olds, these youngsters, and you see them on the racetrack, even if you're not an expert in body language or you've really seen that many races before, I mean, they provide really good coverage on wherever the simulcast is you're watching. So hearing that type of information can be super useful, and just seeing the horses, just seeing how they look in the post parade, I think is just a really good indicator. A lot of the time you'll see some of these horses who don't necessarily take as well to the loud crowd noise, and of course we know limited number and capacity, but you can just see them on the racetrack visually. You want to see them with a nice shine to their coat, but you don't want to see a horse that's all lathered up, all sweaty. That's usually not a good indicator. Might be some type of underlying sickness, or just might not be taking well to the weather. And you don't want to see them sweaty, because I mean, it's not super humid, so just like us, you know, wouldn't be a really good sign to see that in people. So you wouldn't want to see that in horses. But like I said, just gather as much information as possible, and I feel like the odds are going to play out pretty true to what we see in the morning lines. Of course, you're going to see those prices in the morning lines, those 30 to ones, some of them a lot higher than that. So I think if you are looking for prices, obviously look around, find the best value on whatever site or whatever book it is you're using, but always try to gather as much information as possible. So in terms of those future wagers, I always like to get those in as early as humanly possible, because you're just getting huge, huge prices. But I feel like now, because we're already in Derby week, we're already so close to the Derby, just wait and see what you can gather leading up closer to the Derby.
So Monique, love jamming with you. Can you give us a recap of sort of what you're going to be playing, or help us out? Because I know a lot of people are going to be using you as a source for their Kentucky Derby betting information.
Well, hopefully I can come through. A lot of added pressure, but it's okay. I do well under pressure, so I don't mind. Rock Your World is the horse that I'm going to be backing to win. Essential Quality, personally, I'm going to be leaving off that trifecta wager. I mean, it might come back to bite me, because I think he can easily hit the top three. But when I do like a horse that's going to be second choice, maybe third choice, it's hard for me to back two favorites in the top three. So Rock Your World is that price. Super Stock Long Shot I'm going to be using to hit the board. Hot Rod Charlie, another one I think is going to be somewhere close to that 10 to 1 range, which I think is a legitimate win candidate as well. So for me, the play is going to be that trifecta wager. Going to be singling Rock Your World on top, and then including some prices underneath. So trying to keep the ticket costs somewhat reasonable, somewhat small, but I know if Rock Your World comes through, it's going to be a nice payout regardless of what comes underneath.
Really looking forward to this Derby. Monique, where can everybody connect with you?
Best place to be on Twitter. My handle is Parlay Queen, and usually really active regarding horse racing and most other sports, but horse racing has kind of become my life and of course my niche. So that's where you could find me. Would love to be able to give out any type of advice or even just bounce ideas back off one another. And a lot of the time it's so tough to really see every single race too. That's another thing too. And you want to gather as much information as possible. So if anyone has any strong thoughts and just wants to chat with me, Derby, all ears.
And I want to hear from you. How are you getting down for the Kentucky Derby and the NFL draft? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Also make sure to tag at Covers. And a big shout out to everyone who's been part of our show over the last year, from the last time Monique was on to this time here. We love having you part of our community. One thing that helps us out a ton is if you enjoy the show, jump on iTunes, give us a rating and review. And when you do, I will give you a shout out on the show. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The broken leg devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump, put your up. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than two.